This is Mike Corey from ESPN, and you're listening to the Sports Objective Podcast, the unofficial podcast of the Pirates.
Welcome in to the Sports Objective. We're going to be talking East Carolina Pirate football for the next 20 minutes or so, taking a look at the Pirates' offensive line. Spring ball is winding down. The Great Pirate Purple Gold Pigskin Pigout Party is Saturday, a 12:30 start at Dowdy-Ficklin Stadium. A few more practices left for East Carolina, culminating, like I said, in that Purple Gold game on Saturday, April 9th. But right now, I'd like to welcome in my co-hosts, Matt Semenza. Matt, how are things?
Bob, everything's great. Hope you're doing well. And, you know, we've been spending so much time over the last few months talking about basketball and baseball, which is great. But I'm really excited to talk a little Pirate football today, particularly the O-line, which I think is a unit that's improved tremendously over the years. So looking forward to breaking it down with you.
Yeah, the growth and improvement among the offensive line has been tremendous. And, you know, when Mike Houston and his staff took over back in December of 2018, Coach Houston said immediately after examining the roster, he knew things weren't where they needed to be, and it was even worse than he had realized, both on the offensive and defensive lines. But today, like you said, we're honing in on the offensive line. You knew with Steve Shankwaller coming back, if you had patience, and a lot of fans struggle with that, but if you gave this group and this staff rather patience and gave them the opportunity to get some talent in and develop it, that we would see remarkable improvement. And we've seen just that. And the Pirates are able to run the football now, had a 1,000-yard rusher for the first time since 2013 with Keaton Mitchell a season ago. And as you take a look at this group, I think, you know, speaking to the growth, or a reflection of that growth, I should say, is you lose guys that have been in the program for a long time, like Fernando Fry, Sean Bailey. You lose Justin Chase, who was a key contributor after coming over from NC State. And despite losing three guys that have played an awful lot of football like that, as well as others like Trent Holler, who was dismissed during the middle of last season and is now at Marshall, you incur such losses, and because of the talent you've recruited and developed, as well as what you were able to bring in from the transfer portal, the unit's even stronger.
Oh, no doubt about it. Those are great points. I mean, you know, it's been a steady development for Coach Houston and Coach Shankwaller on the O-line. And, you know, you can see what they're trying to do in terms of the blueprint for building this every year. It's obviously, you're always going to have the high school recruits. And I think we had a solid class this year on the O-line. But it's also going to be, you know, whenever we can, when we can add a grad transfer, you know, like a Justin Redd, whenever we can add a portal guy, that's what we're going to look to do too. So, you know, they're going to be creative. Anytime I think they have a chance to add a impact O-lineman, they need to try to take it. And I think they did a good job considering the losses that you mentioned, guys like Justin Chase and obviously Holler, was an unexpected departure from the program to Marshall, and really, quite honestly, a big loss at the center position. I think the staff did a really good job sort of reshuffling and trying to put together some depth and create some, you know, some impact O linemen, not just the starters, but also in the backup positions, which like you said, is was not existent when Mike Houston first got here.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you talk about the depth, and we'll discuss that in general terms before we hone in on these positions individually. But when you take a look at the depth, I mean, that was one of the things when not only was there a talent deficiency, but there was just a lack of numbers when Coach Houston and Coach Shank and Donnie Kirkpatrick, you know, took things over back in December of 2018.
No doubt. It just wasn't at the level of the American Conference at that point. And now, you know, it's been building. I thought there was big time improvement last year, particularly in the run game. I thought we really saw huge improvement. And I think it's going to get to the next level again this year. So it should, we should be able to continue getting better every year. I think this, when you look at this particular O-line on paper, I think this is our best group we've had in quite some time. So that makes me very excited because I'm a guy who I love to run the football. I love when, you know, you're in situations where it's third and two or fourth and one, where you can just pound the rock, which nothing deflates a defense more than when you run the ball down their throat. And in years past, you know, you'd see we'd get into the red zone or, you know, inside the 10-yard line, and we would really struggle to run the ball and had to settle for field goals. I think now we're getting to the point, we get in the red zone, we can finish off drives and convert touchdowns because of the running game, which opens up everything. It opens up the play action for Holton, opens up read option. So I like what I see so far, and I think we're moving in the right direction.
Yeah, no doubt. You talk about down in the red zone. You know, as a former quarterback, I love to throw the football, but nothing's more aggravating, or very little is as aggravating as, you know, being on the 1 foot line or 1 yard line and throwing a fade route.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt about it. And there was a time there where, you know, it would be third and a foot, you know, third and one. And I would just be kind of holding my breath, you know, waiting for a negative play to happen. And now you feel like, you know, you're starting to get more confident that we can really run the ball and pound the defensive line in these situations. So hopefully that's the case. Hopefully we continue to show improvement. And you never know. Maybe this year Keaton Mitchell and Rajay, you know, maybe Rajay goes over 1,000 yards this year. You just don't know. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, no doubt. I think maybe that's the next step for this unit and then the offensive as a whole. You know, we've been able to run the football some, you know, when folks expect us to, but maybe, you know, even more so, especially down there in the red zone, not having to kick some chip shot field goals, because that's certainly been something that has been aggravating for us as fans, but even more so for the coaching staff, having to, you know, kick 22, 23 yard field goals.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's really, you know, you've arrived as an offensive line when you're in a situation where you need to run the football. Everybody in the stadium, the defensive coordinator, the defense, they all know you're going to run the football and you can still do it. That's when you know you've really arrived. So we did see signs of that last year, which was very encouraging. So, you know, it's going to be fun to watch. I think the way this offensive line looks right now in spring ball, it's going to look entirely different in the fall. I mean, there's still quite a few guys who are not ready, you know, whether it's injury, you know, your Bailey Malovich, your Rob Vanderlaan. And then you have guys like Justin Redd, you know, who haven't even arrived yet. And I do anticipate, you know, Redd to be a starter from day one. So it's going to be fun to watch this thing over the next few months.
No doubt. And you're mentioning some, you know, very familiar names there for Pirate fans. So let's go ahead and hone in on the center position. Avery Jones is back. Before we start talking about the tremendous asset that Avery Jones is to this Pirate offense, let's just talk about the center position as a whole. You've really been snake bit there, even more so than other positions along the offensive line. You know, going back to the final year of Scotty Montgomery, the Pirates really had a tremendous center in John Spellacy, but unfortunately he was a medical DQ, too many concussions, I believe it was. And then you also had Peyton Winstead, who had some promise coming in. He was also a medical retiree, if you will. So this is a position that has seen a lot of hardships, to put it mildly. And then in addition to those gentlemen, you had Fernando Frye, you know, sliding over prior to the 2020 season, and then last year, Avery Jones.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, the coaching staff made the decision last spring to move Avery over to the center position. You know, he was recruited to come here as a guard. But, you know, I you know, that's the benefit of having experienced coaching staff. They could look at him and say, okay, you know, Avery translates as a center. That's his best position. And obviously I think he's the type of guy that when you look at him, he might have a future in the NFL if he continues to develop. So he brings good size to the position. He's 6'4", 290, 295, and he's pretty agile for a big guy. So I think he makes a lot of sense, you know, at that center position. I expect great things from him this year. I'm really hoping he can take his game to the next level and stay healthy. I think his health is going to be a major factor, right, Bubba? Because when you look behind him, that's where you start to have some inexperience.
Yeah, and when you take a look at Avery Jones, man, what a tall task it was after making that transition over from guard to center. Obviously, he's identifying fronts, you know, making the calls there along the offensive line. And I don't think some folks realize how challenging that can be and something that takes some getting used to. And then, meanwhile, you're trying to snap the football and you know, block some studs in front of you that are getting after Holton Ahlers. So in last year, certainly wasn't able to ease into things with a veteran defense like App State and then also a very good defense in South Carolina those first two ball games. So there were some definite growing pains, but Avery got better and better as the season went on. And I know Donnie Kirkpatrick was very happy. You talked about his strengths, his smarts. In addition to that strength and intelligence, I mean, his quickness is something that Donnie Kirkpatrick just went on and on about, saying that his athleticism and that quickness allow us to do some things that you wouldn't be able to do with a lot of centers.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think he's a really good fit for what we're trying to do. And, you know, in my opinion, players take the biggest leap in spring ball after their first season, you know, as a key contributor, or in this case, a starting player. Spring ball is a time where, you know, after you get that initial playing time at a position, that's when it all starts to come together. You get the mental reps, you get the live reps, and, you know, he's going to be so much more comfortable heading into this year. He's going to be comfortable with the checks, like you mentioned. That's a great point because that's a huge part of playing center. And I think just overall, you know, the schemes, the protections, I think he's going to be just a lot more comfortable and fluid up there. So I expect big things from him, potential all-conference type player there. I think where I get a little concerned when I look at this offensive line, I think the one spot that concerns me is if Avery was to go down with an injury, which, you know, certainly hope that doesn't happen, what do we have behind him? So, Bubba, what do you think the options are behind him?
That's an excellent point. You read my mind, Matt. That's where I was going to take this had you not mentioned that. But you have Isaiah Foote, who's one of our guards, specifically right guard Isaiah. He definitely has the ability to snap the football, and he's worked there in the past, 6'4", 328 pounds. In addition to Isaiah Foote, you had Keziah Everett, who had obviously moved over from the defensive line. I know this spring, maybe in the scrimmages as well as just practice in general, there have been some snap issues there. And then also Ethan Lang, who's coming in from the IMG Academy, 6'2", 310 pounds. He could potentially be an option at center as well, should you need it.
Yeah, and he's a guy that I think Ethan Lang, when you look at him, I think he's a natural center. You know, I think that's his natural position. Now, you look at a guy like Isaiah Foote, that's a huge body. You know, he is, like you mentioned, I believe 6'4", 326 pounds. So that's a big boy. I think his natural position is guard, but you need to have options, right? And that's when you look at Fernando Fry, he was so important to this team because of his flexibility on the interior, moving from guard to center. He could play on the left side. He could play on the right side. So he's the type of guy that he's a big loss. So you're going to need these guys to really step up and, you know, hopefully these backup options will develop here in the spring and just only get more comfortable as we move forward.
No doubt. You know, moving out to guard, I mentioned Isaiah Foote already. You also have Justin Redd, 6'5", 300 pounds, the big-time Norfolk State transfer, who was the offensive lineman of the year in that conference in the MEAC. So you have him coming over. Obviously, there's a familiarity there, which made you feel very good. In addition to his accolades, with his former head coach being on staff with us. And then in addition to Foote and Red, you also have Nashad Strother from Eastern North Carolina, and then Ben Johnson, another grad transfer who he played tackle at Marist, but he's certainly projected to play guard if at all possible. And the good news is that we have a lot of options at tackle. So keeping Ben Johnson at guard, you know, knock on wood, you know, unless you have a ton of injuries, then you should be in good shape to do that.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And you really like what you see at the guard position. I mean, you just mentioned four guys right off the top of your head that, you know, I think all will play a lot this year. You know, you look at Justin Redd, he's a guy, he's anticipating coming to East Carolina as a starter. You know, when you come as a grad transfer with 1 year of eligibility, you know, you're planning on being the starting player. So I do anticipate that, you know, obviously it's he's going to have to win that battle in fall camp, but I do anticipate he will be the starting right guard. And I love what Isaiah Foote, the way he's developing. He's a homegrown player. You know, he was recruited out of high school, and we need more of those guys. So I think he's a very solid backup there. And then, you know, obviously Strother is a proven guy who's only going to get better. Ben Johnson, I think there's a little bit of, you know, uncertainty with considering he's moving to the interior and playing at a much lower level at Marist, how that translates here in the American. But, you know, hopefully he's as advertised and he can contribute right away.
Absolutely, no doubt. And very interested with all of Justin Redd's accolades. I can't wait to see him in the purple and gold and see everything he brings to the table because, you know, he's just a tremendous talent from everything we hear.
Yeah, what a pickup. I mean, what a pickup. That was a huge addition late, you know, in the cycle, and a guy we really needed. And great job by the coaching staff to identify him. There was a previous relationship, and we were able to capitalize on that. So you got to have that depth. And I have a feeling all four of those guys are going to be used heavily, you know, as the season goes on.
No doubt. And you know, something I failed to mention earlier, in addition to the guys, you know, leaving the program, like a Fernando Fry, Justin Chase, and we mentioned Trent Holler transferring to Marshall after being dismissed from the Pirate program during the middle of last season. In addition to a lot of those losses, you also had Kanan Clark, 6'6", 310 pounds, a native of Georgia. He elected here back in mid-March to enter the transfer portal.
Yeah, you know, big body. You know, he was kind of a project coming out of high school, and it seems like things just didn't quite work out for Kanan Clark. But I think we'll be okay with his loss. I think that there is another guy that we didn't mention that I'm excited about, Richard Pierce, who comes from Alabama. He was recruited out of high school. 6'3", 320 pounds. By all accounts, he's one of the strongest players on the team in the weight room. He's kind of a road grader type, physical kid. Good size. I think his size is perfect for guard, you know, at the left guard. So he's a guy too that, you know, I'm not sure if he's ready to start quite yet, but he'll keep developing. And I think in time he's going to be a multi-year starter here.
Yeah, no doubt. Really remember Richard Pierce's commitment. There were several Alabama and Georgia offensive linemen with Coach Shank's connections in those states that had been offered, or in Richard Pierce's case, obviously became part of the Pirate program. So very excited about Richard. Before we continue on with our offensive line preview, And you know, Matt, before we transition over and talk about the offensive tackles, you know, and the Pirates certainly have a lot of talent at those offensive tackle positions. Wanted to very quickly mention East Carolina football season tickets. The priority deadline was Monday, April the 4th. But don't be confused, folks. You can, of course, order East Carolina season tickets, of which there have been a little over 10,000 sold to date. You can order those season tickets all the way up through right there up to kickoff, or maybe even after the season started. So go ahead and call 1-800-ECU or go online to ecupirates.com and get your East Carolina football season tickets today. Last year we sold, I think it was right around 14,100, and really need to get that number back closer to where it's been in the past. You know, high water mark of right around 22,500, 23,000 back early on in the Ruffin McNeil era. But that is a number that really needs to improve, get up 17,000, 18,000 or as close to that as possible this year.
Absolutely. And the way the team is trending, Bubba, you know, this is an appealing season, you know, to buy season tickets. You know, the team's moving in the right direction. It's not like a few years ago when we had no idea what we had as a team. So definitely encourage everybody to get those season tickets.
Yep, and as you see there on the screen for our viewers, packages as low as $125 in the fan zone and a couple sections in the upper deck. 7 home games. Obviously, you have NC State coming in for the season opener. And then in addition to the Wolfpack, you have UCF, Houston, among others, coming to Greenville, and it's going to be a heck of a home schedule for Mike Houston and the Pirates. But getting back to the matter at hand, that being the offensive line and now specifically the offensive tackles, let's start off taking a look with big Noah Henderson. You had Noah Henderson. Obviously, he had suffered an injury but was cleared, you know, early on right there, the beginning of last season. And Noah Henderson, a tremendous talent. I'm very excited to see how he continues to develop and progress.
Yeah, absolutely. I expect big things from Noah Henderson this year. You look at him, last year he was coming off an injury, and he really hadn't had an opportunity to even lift weights, the way I understand it. He really couldn't even lift weights for about a year. So, and then, you know, obviously you look at the start of the season, Bailey Malovich was the starter, and Henderson wasn't expected to play as much as he had to. But when Bailey went down, Henderson was sort of thrust into that position, and he played a lot more than was anticipated, especially early. So I don't think he definitely wasn't at full strength, just in terms of his movement and, you know, his health and his overall strength with not being in the weight room. So I think this year, and the returns look great so far. Apparently everything I'm hearing is that Noah looks really good. He feels good. He's healthy. He's stronger. So I think you're going to see a upgraded version of Noah Henderson this year.
No doubt. And you mentioned that name, Bailey Malovich. Unfortunately, Bailey's unable to go through spring ball as he continues to recover from that ACL injury that you referenced that he sustained in the season opener against App State. You know, he had put on a lot of weight. He's a guy that didn't, you know, for lack of a better way of putting it, didn't have enough lead in his pencil, so to speak, playing offensive tackle position undersized, and that showed up in 2020. But, you know, he put on probably about 35 to 40 pounds of excellent weight and maintained that tremendous athleticism that he possesses. And really excited, hopefully, Bailey Malovich will be able to come back as he is now up to, you know, the latest we saw was 6'6", about 290 pounds, the former JUCO product. Has so much potential. Hopefully it'll work out for him as well as obviously the Pirates this year.
I really hope so for him. Tough break last year. And, you know, the first quarter of the first game to tear an ACL after putting in all that work, that's a tough break. Now, on the flip side, the good part of that is it takes about a year to come back from an ACL. To where you're able to really, you know, be a productive player on the field. It takes about a year and a half to 2 years before you're back to 100%. So the good news about the timing of his injury is that he'll be available for fall camp, which is good for him. And, you know, he's an interesting player. I was on the field his first year in pregame warmups, and I was standing pretty close to him. And I thought, you know, I'm thinking, man, he looks more like a wide receiver. Than an offensive tackle. He must have been 245 pounds. He put in a lot of work to get up to 290, 295. Great job by him to, get his weight up to an American Conference caliber tackle, and then a tough break. But hoping for big things from him. You know, he might not be 100% at the start of the season, but he'll work up to that as we go.
In addition to Henderson and Malavic, you have Big Walt Stribling. He's continued to progress, played significant snaps a season ago in a reserve role for the most part. And then you have, coming in from West Virginia, a North Carolina native from the greater Charlotte area, Mallard Creek High School. And that is, of course, Parker Moore. Parker Moore from that same program, like I mentioned, Mallard Creek, that Ryan Jones, the Pirate tight end, is from. Moore, 6'4", 315, graded out very highly for the Mountaineers as he started several games in the blue and gold. And he's someone that's a huge offseason acquisition.
Oh, no doubt. Another big offseason acquisition. And really happy to have Parker Moore here in Greenville. And, you know, he's a guy who started in the Big 12. He was a right tackle at West Virginia. He certainly came here to be a starter. I know right now he's locked in a battle with Walt Stribling, and that's great to see because that means Walt has progressed. But I do anticipate, you know, more, I'm sure this spring he's learning the checks, he's learning the system and, you know, all the plays that we have. I do anticipate he will win that battle as we move forward here, but it's nice to see a position, two guys, you know, fighting for that same spot. So that's great news for Stribling, who's obviously come a long way.
Certainly. And another guy we have not mentioned, I talk about Parker Moore coming in from West Virginia. This guy has already been in the program, unfortunately, sustained an injury, much like Bailey Malavic. Early on last season, I guess it was, what, about game four or something? I'm trying to recall if it was Charleston Southern that he went down. I'm talking about Rob Vanderlaan, a 6'5", 300-pounder, who began his career at Oregon State. Hopefully he'll be healthy and coming back after not being able to take part in spring ball.
Yeah, another guy, Bubba, that brings – size, he brings some experience. He was another unfortunate injury because he was really starting, I thought, play much better prior to going down last year. And I like the way he was progressing. So hopefully he's, you know, he can get back to 100%. And now you're starting to see some depth. You're starting to see some options, position flexibility, where a lot of these guys can play right tackle or left tackle. So that's nice to see, something we haven't had in years past.
Also, factoring into the equation at tackle, when I say factoring in, one of the things that we've referenced multiple times over the last several minutes is the depth of this unit. So the opportunity to play early isn't what it once was, and that's a good thing. But I'm very excited to have Jacob Sacra. He was a tackle in high school. He may transition to guard, and I guess that's kind of up in the air at this point. But he was the number 15 overall player in the state of Maryland and one of the top 50 or 55 offensive tackles nationally, according to Rivals.
Yeah, another huge signing for this offensive line. And, you know, he has great size, 6'5", 6'6", about 315. He's in camp now, so he's had a chance to go through a spring ball, which is great. You know, I not to get off topic, but for me, having gone through spring football, it's provides such experience. It gives you reps, physical, mental. It allows you to get in a weight room. It allows you to learn the system. So really happy he was able to get in time for the spring. And by all accounts, he's a very talented kid. Again, flexibility where he can play tackle. Might be a chance they move him down inside to guard. But I think he has a bright future. He's gonna be a multi-year starter here, in my opinion. I don't think it's gonna be this year because he's a true freshman, but I see great things for him in the future.
Another guy entering the program, and we'll see whether, you know, he ends up at guard or tackle. But that is North Carolina native from Vance County High School in Henderson. And big Amari Allen, 6'5", 310 pounds, committed to the Pirates late in June after attending the big man camp. And Coach Shank had the opportunity, like he so often does, to work a prospect out and see firsthand what Amari Allen brings to the table in terms of athleticism and, you know, some raw ability. And I think that's one of the things you heard with Amari Allen, that so much potential, but maybe not quite as developed as a Jacob Sacra, but very excited that Amari Allen's a Pirate.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, he's looking at a redshirt year, which is great for him. It's a great opportunity to get in the weight room, to get stronger, to develop your body, and to learn the system. So I think he's fortunate. You know, he's in a really good spot to be able to capitalize on that redshirt year. Again, another big body. You know, you look across the board here, really have good size on this offensive line. And then you have another backup we didn't mention, Hampton Ergel, who's 6'6", 310, somewhere in that area. Another big body to contribute. So, you know, you look around and you're starting to see depth. You know, you're starting to see some experience, some proven guys, and then guys who are only going to continue to improve. So, you know, I really like the way this – the direction the O-line is moving, significantly better than it was 2 years ago, without question.
Yeah, like you're saying, when this staff took the program over back in December 2018, you legitimately only had, I think it was like 8 or 9 bodies. You didn't even have enough for a 2-deep, much less quality depth. And now you're looking at, I mean, just right off what we have here on paper, and I know we're missing some probably, but you already have, what, 15 to 17 guys, and a lot of these guys are, you know, proven commodities, and then some that are very talented, just simply lacking that all-important experience. But Hampton Ergel, like you said, he's a native of Lexington, South Carolina, so right outside of Columbia, and he was someone that, you know, opted to walk on at East Carolina. And depending on, yes, we have guys such as Johnson and then also Moore and Red, you know, grad transfer options that came in and are going to obviously be on scholarship. But Hampton Ergel, someone down the road, you never know, he may earn a scholarship.
Absolutely. You just never know when a guy is going to have a chance to get his opportunity on the field and hopefully make the most of it. So, but yeah, he does bring another big body, and now he's had a few years in the program, another spring ball to acclimate himself. So, you know, it's really encouraging to see the size. And, you know, Bubba, I wanted to ask you, how do you see the starting five shaping up here? If you were to look at it and predict a starting five on opening day.
Certainly Avery Jones at center. And then I'd say the starting guards would likely be I don't know. It's tough to say, you know, since he's not to, you know, not to campus and really having a chance to make that impact yet. But it's tough to go against Justin Redd, you know, at one of those guard spots. But and then you have Nashad Strother. You certainly expect Noah Henderson, and then I'll go with Parker Moore, but like we discussed earlier, it's tough to say there whether it's going to be Stribling or Moore.
Yeah, no, great points. And I see it virtually identical as you. I see Moore ultimately winning that job as he becomes more comfortable with the system. You look at guard. Guard's interesting. You know, I do think Red coming in, his experience, unless something goes very wrong, I anticipate he's going to be the starter. You know, you don't bring a guy in for 1 year to ride the bench. So I think obviously he's going to have to earn it, Bubba, you know, but I think he will win that job. And I think you have, you know, Strother on the left side, but you know, you look at Foote, he's an interesting guy to me. He's got tremendous size. Now, regardless of whether he starts or not, which is yet to be determined, he's going to play a big role. He's going to be the primary backup, I believe, at both guard spots. He, you know, if somebody goes down, he's going to be in there. I think he's going to get a lot of reps regardless, because we do rotate linemen quite a bit on the interior. So, you know, I think those three are your top guys. And then you have options around that as well. And I agree with you, Avery Jones, and certainly Noah Henderson at the other tackle spot. So like the way it's shaping up.
Undoubtedly, tremendous development along the offensive line. I certainly expect it to continue and look forward to, you know, continuing to have 1,000-yard rushers and You know, last year, I think Rajay Harris finished up right around 600 yards. Maybe here in the next year or two, we can have a couple of 1,000-yard rushes in the same season. You know, when was the last time you were able, if ever, you were able to say that about East Carolina football? You see Mike Cusin and his staff really putting their stamp on the program. And then, obviously, the better we run the football, and we're going to make that play action with Holton and company all the more successful. But really appreciate everyone tuning in. Definitely, like we said, be sure you call 252-737-4540, and that is the number for the ECU Pirate Club. You know, join the team behind the teams today. Order those season tickets from ecupirates.com or calling 1-800-ECU. And then also, you know, be sure on Sunday that you join us for extra innings as we'll recap the week that the Pirates are going through in baseball. Had the game on Tuesday, moved to Wednesday against Old Dominion, and then a big series with the Wichita State Shockers. So we'll take a look back at that. Scott Rogers or maybe Trent Britt, Coach O, someone will join us as we talk East Carolina baseball. And then in addition to extra innings, be sure to join the Pirates Cove. If you're on Facebook and you love talking East Carolina athletics, which you probably do if you're listening to us, join the Pirates Cove as we're right around 1,000 members and looking to really continue to grow the Pirates Cove between now and football season. But for Matt Semenza, I'm Bubba Rosenbaum, and you've been watching and listening to the Sports Objective as we've been talking East Carolina Pirate football and honing in.